Let's bow our heads briefly in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we are not before a man or men tonight, we are before Thee. We thank Thee that the book that we have open is not just a book, Lord, that has been written by men, but inspired by Thyself and inspired by Thy Holy Spirit. We pray that that self-same Spirit, Lord, who inspired these men over many years to write Thy sacred word, may be here with us tonight to open His word to us and the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, that it may be relevant to us and helpful to us this week. We pray that we may be here for a time such as this, and we pray that we may receive a word in season to our souls, to each and every one of our souls, both to preacher and hearers alike. So do help us now, we pray, as we open the scriptures in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, I'd like you to turn with me this evening for our evening text to the Apostle Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 19. This morning we're in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 8 and verse 9, a gospel message about the Lord Jesus Christ that Paul called our Lord Jesus Christ, his Lord Jesus Christ, and the Corinthians' Lord Jesus Christ. But here he's writing to the Philippians, and he writes to them as follows. Chapter 4, verse 19. He says, but, some there just translate that as and, my God, Paul's God, shall supply all your need, the Philippians' need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's a great epistle, and they're great chapters, just four chapters, but they're great ones. And even in this last chapter, the many great verses, and this is one of them. But my God, it's a strong verse, a powerful verse. But my God, very personal, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, dear friends, for a little while this evening, I want us to look at this verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, where the apostle here is writing to the Philippians about his God. This morning to the Corinthians, it says about our Lord Jesus Christ. But here when he writes to the Philippians, it's about, he was the God of the Philippians too, but he writes to them especially in this way, particularly, specifically in this way, about his God. He says, but my God, my personal God, is still our God, the only true and living God, shall supply all your need, you Philippians, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When the Apostle Paul writes them about his God, not saying that he had one God and they had another God, there is of course only one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this was the God, he uses the Greek word theos for God here, and it was the God who had saved him a number of years before this, who had redeemed him from all of his sins, forgiven him of his sins, and granted him his salvation through faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the God who, for many years now, he had served and whom he worshipped, the only true and living God. The name Theos means the object of worship. And this God for Paul, this God, the true God, was the object of his worship and of his service, and was for the Philippians as well. So he writes them about his God. He does the same in the first chapter of this epistle, chapter 1 and verse 3, where he says there, I thank my God. And very often when he uses the expression, my God, it is in terms of thanksgiving. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you Philippians. He had a very real and a personal relationship with God, a God who had saved him, a God who was sanctifying him, and a God who was going to glorify him in the future. As ever, my dear friends, the question for you and me tonight is whether Paul's God, and there is no other God, the God, is he your God? Is he the God who has saved you and called you with a holy calling? Is he the God that you serve, as Paul served him in his spirit? And is he the God that you worship? You don't worship any other God. You don't worship idols, kind of God of your own imagination. But this is the God that you know, that has saved you, and you serve, and you worship, Paul's God. The God that revealed himself to Paul, revealed his word to Paul, revealed his gospel to Paul, the true God. Is he your God? Well, if he is, the things of which Paul wrote about here in this verse, in verse 19 of chapter 4, these things belong to you, as much as they, the kind of promise that is here, belong to him and also to the Philippians and to all the Christian believers in that first century. So what does Paul say to them about his God? Well, he tells them here to comfort them and to encourage them, especially because you've got to appreciate the context of this verse. In the epistle, and especially in this chapter, the Philippians had been very generous, had been very kind in their giving towards the Apostle Paul in his need, and had sent him some kind of a gift. But what Paul wants them to realise is they're not, you know, God is no man's debtor. And as they'd looked after him, and as they'd looked after other Christians and provided and supplied for them, well, he gives them this promise. And it's a promise that he gives not only on the basis of his own experience, his past experience and his present experience, because God was still providing him where he is writing this to them from Rome. But it was a promise that he could give them also on the basis of inspiration. This was not only his promise to them, but also God's promise to them. And it's almost also like a prophecy or a prediction to them what God was going to do for them in the future. What he shall do. Or some translate it, what he will do for them in the future. A promise, a prediction, a prophecy to them for the future. Well, what was it that God was going to do? Well, what he was going to do was this, and this is our theme for tonight then, that he was going to supply them, he was going to provide for them. God is the king of his people. He's a shepherd of his people. Kings and shepherds protect, and they also guide, and they also provide. God said, this is what God is going to do for you. You, in a way, you've provided for me out of what you have, out of your limited store. Well, God is going to provide for you out of his illimitable store, his inexhaustible store, the infinite store of his grace. Not only his spiritual riches, but also his material riches as well. He's going to provide for you there in Philippi. I don't think that Corinth was quite a rich city, was it? An affluent city. I don't think Philippi was. And there'd have been some pretty poor Christians amongst them. Sometimes the poorest people are the most generous. And those who had been very sacrificial in their giving towards God and towards the poor saints in Jerusalem, towards the Apostle Paul and to others, he wants to reassure them and to comfort them, the capacity of their souls. God is going to provide for you. He's going to supply your needs. Isaac Watts, in his paraphrase of Psalm 23, in our hymn number 258, verse 1 and line 1, he puts it like this: my shepherd will supply my need. My shepherd will supply my need. And God was going to supply for them. And Gadsby puts it like this in number 296, verse 3 and line 1. My every need he richly will supply. We have a providing God. We have a supplying God. He is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Providing Abraham with a ram when he needed it. And he provides us with those things that we have need of ourselves. Perhaps you have a particular need at the moment. Perhaps we as a church have a particular need at the moment, or needs in the future. Well, this is the encouragement. This is the guidance. We go to God. We go to him in prayer. He knows those things that we have need of even before we ask him. And he's a God who hears and answers our prayers and answers our needs. He supplies. He provides. It means here that he fills up, or he fulfills the need. He was going to furnish them. He was going to make full the need, or the kind of the need that had been created. He would meet their needs. And Calvin says in his commentary that perhaps this is even a prayer of Paul's, that Paul was praying, well, may he supply, may he provide for you. Whether prayer or promise or both, this is for them and this is also for us. He mentions the word supply back in chapter 2 and verse 30. He says there, because for the work of Christ, Epaphroditus, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me, to meet your lack of service towards me, to fill it up, to fulfill your lack of service towards me. That's what Epaphroditus did as far as Paul was concerned. And this is what God would do as far as the Philippians were concerned. So, my dear friends tonight, dear brothers and sisters in Christ here, will Paul's God supply you as an individual believer? Will he supply you as a Christian family? Will he provide you as a Christian church? Can he provide for all of his people? Well, we can answer positively tonight. We can answer in the affirmative. Yes, he most certainly will, because he's the same God. And it's the same word, it's the same promise for them and also for us. Well, let's look at two things about this tonight. First of all, Paul writes of them here about their supplier at the beginning of the verse. And then secondly, he mentions about their supplies, or God's supplies towards them. Deal with the first point very quickly, and then we'll come on to the second point. So first of all, about the supplies. He mentions about the provider, their provider or their supplier. And he describes him, you notice, as his God, Paul's God. You might wonder why he describes him like that. Why didn't he say, you know, our God will provide your needs, or the God of so-and-so, the God of some other church or some other Christians? Why does Paul particularly mention himself here and bring himself in here? Well, no doubt it's for this reason. Because he wants to say to them, he wants to assure them from his own experience. Very often, my dear friends, we can be encouraged and comforted, not only from the scriptures and the experience of the prophets and the apostles and the Old Testament, the New Testament saints, we can be encouraged by one another. And the way in which God has acted towards them and his faithfulness and kindness and generosity to them, if he's been like that to them, perhaps he will also be towards us too. And we argue, Paul's arguing like this as far as they were concerned. He says, it's my God who has supplied all of my need. Come on to that a bit later on. You need to be careful with that description. My need, all my physical needs, my material needs, my temporal needs, up until the time of my conversion, my Damascus Road experience. And then ever afterwards, he's a God who continued to provide for my physical and temporal material needs, but also one who provided for my spiritual needs. His grace has been sufficient for me ever since my conversion, and even up until this very day. So that's why he's saying about himself. He says, look at me, I can assure you of this. Not only because I'm receiving this through inspiration, but because this is my own personal experience. This is what God has been to me. This is what God has done for me. He supplied all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And as he's done it for me, there was a sense in which the Apostle Paul was very special. He was an apostle after all. And a minister and a missionary, you know, to many people. There's also a sense he's just like you and me. He's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and a Christian. And he's saying, in this respect, you Philippians are no different to me. As God has dealt with me and treated me like this, he will also deal and treat with you. My God, who has been like this to me, will be like this also to you. So is, my dear friends, is the Apostle Paul's God your supplier? My dear friends, how encouraging is that? How comforting is that? The God who provided Paul all of his life long, and through all of his various needs for his body and also for his soul, if God could provide for him throughout, so that although sometimes he was abased, very often he abounded, he can also provide adequately and sufficiently for you out of his infinite and inexhaustible wealth and resources that we heard about this morning. So that was their supplier, their provider, and he's our supplier and provider today. And secondly, what about the Philippian supplies that they could look forward to? God supplies towards them. They're in Philippi. Again, this is not something that should encourage laziness, this verse, and it's not something that should encourage prayerlessness. You know, and they shouldn't kind of argue, well, God knows our needs and then we leave it all to him. No, they had to pray about these things. But God would come in and he would provide for their needs. He would supply. And he tells them what he would supply. He says he'll provide, he will supply all your need. Listen to Gatsby again in that hymn, 296, verse 3 and verse 1. He doesn't just say my need. Gatsby was always very biblical, gospel standard man. But he very clearly and specifically says, my every need he richly will supply. So as far as the church is concerned, as far as Christians are concerned, God won't just supply some of our needs. We can expect and we can pray accordingly. He will provide for all of our needs, physical and spiritual. He will provide for our necessities. Another rendering of this is every need of yours. But notice, Paul doesn't say here that he'll provide for your greeds, as one commentator puts it. He won't provide for your wants. He won't provide all your wishes, all those things that you wish for. And my dear friend, be careful sometimes what you wish for. God may indeed give it to you, but it might not be good for you. It might send leanness into your soul. But what God does promise here, he'll provide for your every need. My every need, he richly will supply. My shepherd will provide my need. What should have put in there? My every need. So again, this word comes up in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, rather let him labour, working with his hands a thing which is good, that he may give to him that has need. So it's God will provide that man his needs, but sometimes we are to come in. We can be answers to prayer, and we can be those who are used to answer the needs of others. In spite of what we might have been before, that's mean and ungenerous, God can open our hearts and open our hands to provide for the needs, the true needs of others. A friend in need to us as Christians should be a friend indeed. So my dear friend, will Paul God supply all your need? Be assured, the promise is there. It's God's promise. You know, it's backed up with Paul's experience and by inspiration. And perhaps also the Philippians could take encouragement by the fact that they themselves had been generous. And God is merciful to those who are merciful. God is gracious to those who are gracious. God is generous to those who are generous. Very often we reap what we sow. Yeah. Paul says in another place, doesn't he? Those who sow sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But those who spare liberally shall also reap liberally. God will provide their every need and yours too. Not just theirs, yours. Last Friday, a couple of days ago, I was over in Swansea preaching a youth rally there at Peniel Green Evangelical Church. And the former pastor, the pastor there now is, of course, Reverend Neil Fife, who has preached here. Actually, Brian Heim has preached here too, who was the former pastor of that church. A little while ago, he started to get bad pain in his hip. And you can probably tell what's coming. He needed to have a hip replacement. And the National Health Service over here, though in many ways very, very good, were very slow as far as he was concerned. And he was going to have to wait an awfully long time, big waiting list where he is in his area, to have his hip done. Until in the end, he was in such pain, he thought, I've got to do something about this, and he had to look elsewhere. And he's always holidayed in France. And I don't know how they came to hear about having different operations, and even a hip operation in France, but the information came. And he decided he'd like to have it done in France. If he had it over there, if you could pay, you go straight over there, and you know, you'd be looked after, you'd be welcomed at the airport or at the station. They'd put you up in a place, they would take you to the hospital to have it done, you'd have it done very quickly, you'd convalesce over a few days, and then they'd put you on the plane or the train back again. But it's going to cost. Of course, it wasn't going to be on the National Health Service. Going private was going to cost a number of thousands of pounds. Well, I said to him, because, you know, I know that his pension is rather reasonably modest. I said, how did you pay for that? He said, I didn't have to pay a penny. Because it's something that we laid before the Lord, we prayed about it, and God provided every penny for me to have it done. God's kindness to them, and kindness through God's people to them, it was all paid for. And he was walking about quite happily on Friday night. It was good to see him and his wife in it. And that is our experience, isn't it? His experience, your and my experience. He provides. And even perhaps if we should suffer, think of Paul. You could say about the Apostle Paul, well, sometimes he was in need, wasn't he? Sometimes he said that he was in hunger, he was cold, nakedness, and so on. Well, sometimes when God doesn't provide us in a temporal way, in a material way, he provides us with grace to suffer these things, and with his presence to comfort us throughout them. So that's what he was going to supply. How is he going to do it? Well, as I've already mentioned towards the beginning of the message, he was going to do it most certainly, most definitely, most surely. He was going to supply. My shepherd will supply my need. Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's no doubt about this. It wasn't a question whether or not God would do this. God would be faithful. God would be the same towards them as he was towards the Apostle Paul. He would provide all their need. And they weren't to doubt it at all. They were to trust and they were to believe. Will he supply your every need? Do not doubt it. It is a certainty. Because it's based on God's word. It's based on God's character, on his veracity, on his truth. And secondly, he was going to supply according to his riches in glory. My every need, he... And Gatsby's so right in that line. My every need, we've already seen. And then he says, he richly will supply. Or Annie Johnson Fence hymn number 952 in our hymn books, in the chorus, in the refrain, she says, puts it like this. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. And that undoubtedly is the right rendering and interpretation of this part of this verse. It is this, basically. He would provide according to, by, or out of the abundance of, or in proportion to, his glorious, infinite, magnificent, plenteous, and splendid riches or resources. So in other words, he doesn't just provide out of his riches. You notice what he's saying here, he gives in proportion to his riches. He is very kind. God is kind. God is good. God is good to Israel. and are those of a clean heart. He provides richly for us, especially spiritually. You know, don't think that God is backward in wanting to give you things, giving you, you know, spiritual help, grace to meet every need, every temptation, every difficulty and trial. We don't have because we don't ask. Ask and you will receive. Knock, the door shall be opened to you. Seek and you shall find. That he is a very generous God. He gives, and he gives again. It's just like Paul speaks about the gospel as the glorious gospel of the blessed God, when he says about his provision here, the way this should be rendered probably is this: it's according to his glorious riches. Think of God's glorious riches. If you're in material need, think of those riches that we heard about this morning. That God, what does God not own? He owns everything. The cattle upon 1,000 hills. Amen. And so what is it for him to provide for you? What is it for him to provide for us as a church in the future? It's nothing to him. It's very easy for him. We call upon it if that is his will. And spiritual riches that have been laid up for us in Christ, they are without limit, inexhaustible riches, infinite riches in glory. So will he provide your need according to his riches in glory? Well, he will be the same. He'll be the same with you as with these people. And notice finally, he'll do it all. And he'll only do it by Christ Jesus. It'll all be based on his merits, not on yours. It'll be through this mediator, through this medium, through the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be by virtue of your being in him. It'll be for his sake. It'll be through Christ, through his mediation, and through his mediation alone. Whatever we receive, even as his people, is all through Christ. It's all through him, is all as a result of the atonement. It's all because of his death upon the cross. Even the common mercies that we receive day by day, it is all on account of his death upon the cross for us. And all the spiritual mercies that stream to us from heaven, all the good gifts that come down upon us, they're all as a result of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They come through no other person. They come through no other way. They come through Christ. Some translate it that he would provide for them in this way, according to his riches in glory, with Christ Jesus. So he's given us Christ. Well, if he's given us Christ, what is he not going to give to us? Like Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 32, I think, you know, God who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God has done that for us and given us Christ, the pearl of great price. What else is anything else he might give to us for our lives, both spiritual and material? So will he provide your need by Christ Jesus? Yes, because it'll come in no other way. So this is all about Paul's God providing for them. God was going to be their supplier, and their supplies were going to be definite according to their need, not all their wants and greeds and wishes and so on, and according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then to finish, just let me re-emphasize, NB, this is not a verse. This is a verse to be used. It's a verse not to be abused. Not to go away. Very, very often scripture can be terribly abused. Even the verses about revival and things like that, people can look at those and think, well, we do nothing. We wait for God to do something. Just like the unbeliever says, well, God is the Saviour. We wait for him to say, we won't do anything. We won't turn to him. We won't seek his face. You mustn't look at this verse and think, well, God's going to provide for me as a Christian. I don't need to do anything. It's not to encourage laziness. God blesses hard work, and he provides for those who work hard and for their families. And it's not also to encourage prayerlessness. No, God, who in his providence supplies for us, also in providence bids us to pray, that we might have the joy of seeing him answering our prayers and granting us our heart's desires. So be careful with Scripture, be careful with this verse. Don't let it encourage laziness or prayerlessness. Let it encourage us to work hard, to provide for ourselves and our families. Let's encourage us to pray. God will be faithful to hear and to answer. Amen.
Amen.